Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Pretty rough. That Jeremiah is preaching an unpopular message, and that we understand there are times in a culture where messages are no longer popular, not even among God's people. And so Jeremiah preached a message, a long message, the temple discourse in Jeremiah chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. We saw the reaction of that temple discourse in Jeremiah chapter 26. Now, some time has passed, but the reactions to the preacher's message has not gone away. And we understand the context of what's happening is that, so we can apply it properly, that what is directly being implicated is the people's response to the message that the preacher has preached. And we understand that there are different reactions. The reaction that God desired from the people was that the people would get right, return, and repent. However, not everyone was inclined to do so, and so they had to do something about the messenger. That we know the age-old adage that we've been applying, that when all else fails, when everything goes wrong, blame the preacher. And we're going to see what this is implied, that Jeremiah is just preaching the word of God with a simple idea. He wants people to obey God's word. He's just the messenger. However, everything else has now become complicated. So look with me in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, and notice with me in verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded to your fathers in the day that I bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all that I commanded you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. So answered I, and said, So be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And when they went after other gods to serve them, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, you're going to notice several words that repeat over and over in Jeremiah. The first word is the word covenant. The first word is the word covenant. You'll see it in verse 3. You'll see it bounced around. A second word that you'll see that is going to pop up and be implicated throughout this passage is going to be found in Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 9, a conspiracy. A conspiracy. And with the Lord's help, we're going to hit these two main words here with the idea of covenants and conspiracies. Covenants and conspiracies. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's go talk to him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as I come up to you now, I just throw myself across your mercy seat and beg for mercy, Lord. I recognize that I need help in a supernatural way. Lord, I know that my back is broken. I know the pain that I'm in. I know the mental state that I'm in. And I know that you're a good God. I also know if there was one message I do not want to preach right now, it would be this message here. But Lord, this is next up. This is what you would have me to do. And so because of that, my inability, and I cannot, I'm asking that you take this and you preach the message for me. I have no strength. I have no ability to do such a thing. I definitely don't want to preach a message such as this in my own strength, in my own flesh. I must be filled with the Spirit. I must have you. I need you now. Lord, I'm asking that you would use this message to draw everyone closer to you, that everyone would be determined to be obedient to the clear commands that your Bible says, and that you would give us the blessings that you promised here. Lord, I pray that there would be no one who would turn away and get involved with conspiracies and bring the desolation, the cursing, the judgments that come from not obeying your covenants. Lord, just be clear, be a help, put your supernatural presence in here. And again, Lord, I need you. Please, Lord, show up. Please, Lord, you work. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage here is a difficult time for Jeremiah. That the book of in the Jeremiah here, God is telling the people that they need to obey his word. And unfortunately, they have not obeyed his word. That Jeremiah's preached very hard messages. And whenever you preach hard messages, people either get in the boat or get out of the boat. It's just how it goes. And so when we come up here, we know that the two words that is repeated over and over and implicated is the idea of covenant and the idea of conspiracies. We also know that before we go on that we should always define our terms. What is meant by covenants and what is meant by conspiracies? Well, let's kind of just define terms before we even start the message. What is meant by covenant conspiracies here? That the word covenant in this context carries the idea of a promise to God to man. So it's a promise to God, to man, that man's obedience entitles him to blessings. And that's pretty simple. That God has made a command to man. And guess what? If man obeys, he's entitled to blessings. However, if he disobeys this command, then the opposite is true. He's deserving of cursings. Now, in the sense of covenants that God is using, it's not dealing with salvation. It's dealing with practicalities of simply, are you going to obey the Bible? If you obey the Bible, God blesses you. When God's word is proclaimed, are you going to listen? As the principles of God's word are explained, are you going to listen? Then we come to the idea of conspiracy. The conspiracy. So we have a covenant, which again, we're just saying it's not dealing with salvation. It's dealing with the idea that God has given his word. If you obey his word, there's blessings. So God has given a covenant. Then we see the idea of a conspiracy. A conspiracy is a combination of men for an evil purpose. That's one definition. Another definition, which is going to be the Bible definition we're using here. It is agreement between two or more people to commit some crime in concert. So a conspiracy in this case that's going to be popped up here is the idea of two or more persons who have agreed together, an agreement between two or more persons to commit some crime in concert. Now the crime is going to be against God through his preacher. And we're going to see three specific
conspiracies that pop up here. And so God has given his word and said, obey his word. He has sent his messenger, Jeremiah, to proclaim his word and just simply saying, obey God's word and you'll get blessed. Here's what God's word says, obey. That's the simplicity of it. God's word is always simple. We make things complicated. In response, what has occurred is that a conspiracy has occurred. Three conspiracies that we're going to cover in this passage here. So what is a conspiracy again? It is agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime in concert. And so we're going to have three conspiracies that pop up against Jeremiah. Now let's examine this passage and let's see this idea of covenants and conspiracies. The first thing this passage introduces to us is the covenant stated. The covenant stated. Notice with me in chapter 11 and verse 1. Chapter 11 verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and speak unto the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Judah. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. So we start off with Jeremiah being told of God, saying, all right, I want you to go preach my word. And you go tell each and every one of them what they're supposed to do. If they obey, there's blessings. If they don't obey, then they're going to be cursings. So let's see as God clearly explains what he's meaning. Notice with me in verse 4. Which I commanded unto your fathers in that day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt in the furnace, saying, all right, so here's what he said. Obey my voice. So we understand, first of all, when we deal with the idea of the covenant stated, God gave the word. God gave the word. So the first part of this idea is that God gave the word. It wasn't Jeremiah. It wasn't Moses, as it's being referred back there. It is God. God gave the word. Then, not only that, obey my voice and do them. The second thing about the covenant is that Israel was to do them. So God gave the word, and the people are supposed to do it. Pretty simple so far, right? Notice this. Obey my voice and do them according to which I commanded you, so shall ye be my people. So God says, I gave you the word, and you obey the word. If you obey the word, you will be my people. So shall you be my people. And then notice this, that I will be your God. So Jehovah will be their God. Now that's pretty simple. God says, I've given you a word and you obey it. As you obey it, you're my people and I'll be your God. You draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. It's pretty simple. Now you say, what kind of covenants is there in the Bible? Well, there's all kinds. You find all kinds of God's word. For example, it says, be a good employee. We saw that before in the book of Ephesians. It says to love your wife. Now, hopefully you don't have to work up enough to love your wife. That's a big deal. But you understand that's a covenant. That's a commandment. That God has given us commandments. Simple things to obey. God doesn't give us things like go storm a castle or go fight a dragon. He gives us simple things to obey in the Bible. We could recognize that. And if we obey the simple commands that he has given us, the simple covenants, that God will bless us. He will be our God, will be his people. God will put blessings on it. That is simple. Just obey his word. So we have the covenant clearly stated that God promised to give a blessing. Notice in verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn to your fathers to give them a land of flowing of milk and honey as it is this day. So answered I, and said, so be it, O Lord. So Jeremiah said, I'll go tell them. Now, again, God made specific promises to the Israelite people, which is being referred to here. He's talking to the Israelite people. We're making application to ourselves that it still remains. If we obey, God will put blessings. We still believe that. Verse 6. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. And then he goes on and God's saying, hey, I've gone out early. I've sent preachers out early to tell you the word. This isn't something new. Jeremiah is not telling them a brand new thing. He is telling them the same thing. Obey God's word. And so Jeremiah, after preaching the temple discourse, has spent times as a preacher traveling to cities, preaching in the streets, going everywhere he can, declaring God's word. He is proclaiming it. He's been obedient for these years. However, there are some people that do not appreciate the message. Which brings us to the first conspiracy, I'd like to say, the covenant broken. So the next thing I want to see is the covenant broken. We now come to the first conspiracy. Remember, let's go back to our definition of conspiracy. It is an agreement between two or more people to commit a crime in concert. So it's a conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to commit a crime in concert. Here's the first conspiracy we want to show you in the passage, the covenant broken. So God has sent Jeremiah to go declare his word. Notice what happens in verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made with their fathers. And it goes on and explains a little bit more that God is going to pour judgment onto them. But we come to this first conspiracy that the covenant is broken. So remember, Jeremiah is sent to proclaim God's word, his covenant, his clear commands to the people. And he's been preaching everywhere. He's been preaching in the cities. He's been preaching in the streets. He's been preaching to the people. He's been declaring God's word. And a conspiracy comes up. You say, what's the conspiracy? It goes something just like this. So, what'd you think of the preacher's message? Yeah, it was pretty good. What did you think about that one point? Yeah, I kind of have a difficulty with that too. Yeah, it didn't quite hit me right. And so two or more people begin to agree together to commit a crime in concert. What is the crime? Not to obey the word that is given by the preacher. That's the conspiracy. I understand that we live in a land of roast preacher. That's sometimes people's favorite meal. Can you believe what the preacher said? Can you believe that the preacher would actually dare to say something like that? Now, you understand, men and women, humans, are cowards by default. We know that's our default stating. What do I mean by that? That nobody likes to stand for something or against something by themselves. They want someone to stand with them. And so whereas you will very rarely find someone stand up in the middle of a message say, I hate you, preacher. What they'll do is they'll see if they could find some backup. And so they'll talk to others. So the preacher made this new policy. What do you think about this? And they'll begin to talk to one another until they find enough people that they could either convince or just flat out agree with them that they didn't like it in the first place. And a conspiracy has come up that two or more people have come to an agreement to commit a crime in concert, to disobey God's clear commands. You understand that you could always find someone who disagrees with the preacher. Now again, I'm not far-fetched. This is exactly what's being dealt with as the preacher is preaching and the people are in concert because they don't like the message. So they're going to search and they're going to talk with someone until they find someone that disagrees with that one point that they don't like. Now you understand, you could find someone else. You could find someone in the church that agrees with you to disagree with the preacher. If you can't find someone to immediately agree with that, you can always call a different preacher. Take the phone book and say, hey, there's a church down here. My preacher says this. What do you think about that? And in case you don't think that doesn't happen, I get phone calls all the time from people who are disgruntled with their preacher. And I will not stand for that. Not at all. But people do that. They will go find another preacher. By the way, let me give you a hint. That other preacher is not your pastor, the one who's set by God to shepherd over you and to take care of you. They're not responsible. It is the Lord, if you're a member of this church, that the God has placed me responsible for watching for your souls, that I must give an account, that I may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13:17. You understand that you could go find someone else. And if all else fails, there's always Google. I guarantee anything I've ever said, you could find someone else on Google who disagrees with it. You could absolutely find it. So you understand it's not hard to commit a conspiracy. All you have to do is not like something preacher has said and go find someone who agrees with you. And it emboldens you to commit a conspiracy, which is an agreement between two or more people to work together in concert to commit a crime. And this, what God is stating as the crime, to disobey the word given to the pastor. Now let me give you a disclaimer here, that we understand that submission is not silence. Submission is saying the right thing at the right time of the right spirit to the right at the right place. I understand that I, as a pastor, and by the way, Jeremiah, we're both not infallible. It's true. And so if I do something stupid, if I said something wrong, if I did something unwise, the proper biblical response is not to commit a conspiracy and find someone, can you believe what the preacher said? The proper response is to go with an open Bible and say, preacher, I didn't quite understand what you meant here. Could you clarify that? And I'll be glad to. And if I'm wrong and with an open Bible, I'd rather conform to the Bible. You understand? That's a proper step. The improper step is to go talk to everyone else until you find someone who disagrees with you. You understand, I've been in this for a while and I've seen several conspiracies. There's been big conspiracies. One of the big fights over the years has been the altar. I don't like going to the altar. I've got an issue with going to the altar. Well, you understand, the preacher has preached that there's biblical principles behind it, and there is biblical principles behind it. In addition, that I haven't said anything illegal, immoral, or biblical, but in fact, it is something that is going to help draw you to it. But you understand that there are some people who don't like it. And so what they do is they go commit a conspiracy. What do you think about the altar? I just don't think that we should just have to go to the altar. I don't like it whatsoever. So they will find someone else to commit a conspiracy with, to find another person who agrees with them. And because now they have backup, they will choose to disobey what was given to them by biblical authority. That's something that happens. Soul winning is another one. You know, we could go through all kinds of conspiracies. We remember one time we had a lady who decided she didn't want to wait till after church to have roast preacher. She gathered a lot of other ladies together. And so they were talking right in the foyer. And my wife happened to catch across them and listen to the conversation. She goes, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Let me go grab pastor really quick and he'll be glad to explain it. Well, for some reason, they scattered and they did not want to talk to preacher. So immediately after service, they got on the phones. Can you believe what the preacher said? Then can you believe what the preacher's wife did? That she said we need to go talk with pastor. And they came up with a conspiracy that they agreed that they were all not going to come back to church. Just after that. Well, the evening service came and one of the ladies came back. The rest of them did not. And she goes, yeah, well, we agreed that we were coming to church, but I didn't feel comfortable with it, so I came anyways. She was the leader of the thing. You understand, that's a conspiracy. That two or more people came together in agreement to commit a crime in concert. That instead of obeying, or if there was an issue, to go confront the preacher with under submission, to open the Bible and say, hey, we need some clarification on that. They made in concert to disagree and that they were going to disobey, by the way, not preacher's words, but what the Bible principles teach. That's a conspiracy. And you understand that here it says the Lord had told Jeremiah that there's a conspiracy. One of the things about biblical discernment is that the preachers sometimes know who's the ones that are looking for, that have a problem and they're looking for it. It's one of those things. But we see this covenant broken. We see this first conspiracy. The Lord has said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What is this conspiracy? That they were talking about. Can you believe what this Jeremiah guy is saying? Can you believe what the preacher is saying? I don't think we should do it. What do you think? And they got enough people behind them, because they go to the old adage that might makes right. That's always how you win an argument. If you got more people on your side, you must be right. And so if they get enough people to back them up, they feel comfortable about disobeying. You understand, it is not disobeying the preacher. It's disobeying the Lord. And they're in trouble. All the preacher is doing is the preacher wants blessings on the people. He doesn't want to hurt them. You understand why I preach like I do? I want you blessed. I want you to have the best that God has for you. And so I'm not going to ask you to do something that's going to hurt you spiritually. I'm not going to ask something that's going to drive you further away from the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something that is going to help you in your spiritual life to be drawn closer to the Lord. So you understand that people commit a conspiracy. Let me also interject that if somebody starts coming to you with the intent of committing a conspiracy, it starts off innocent. Guard yourself. Guard yourself. Because this is also another word, gossip. And it is very, very dangerous. And so we see a conspiracy is committed. What do you think about the preacher? And they got enough people. They said, we're not going to obey what the preacher said. Well, if you don't mind, it goes on. That was bad enough. But now we come to the second conspiracy. Another conspiracy is propped up. The first one was just the simple idea that they were agreeing together to disobey the message that God had given to the preacher and that they were going to disobey it. Now we come to a third thing we see in here. We saw the idea of the covenant stated. We saw the covenant broken. Now we see the covenant preacher threatened. The covenant preacher threatened. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 18. In verse number 18. But the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it, and thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, thou judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. And so here we see the next thing, the covenant preacher threaten. That we know that when people reject God, they reject his messenger. And in order to shut the message up, they had to shut up the messenger. And so what had happened, and notice in verse 21, therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth. Anathoth was Jeremiah's hometown. This is where he was from. And so a second conspiracy has come up where the people who knew him, these aren't just strangers. These are his family. These are the people we grew up with. These are the people we went to school with. These are the people that he played games out with in the field when he was little. He was back in his town. And they have a conspiracy. They're ready to kill him. They're planning on killing him. And what's worse is he did not know about this one. The first conspiracy, God had already told him which people were already having issues with. Which ones were already having roast preacher. All right, well, I just know to watch out for those. But in verse 19, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me. This is one of the ones that hurt worse. It was bad enough. You know, nobody likes that people don't like what they say. And it's just one of those things. You deal with it. But this one, these were friends. These were people he grew up with. These are people that are close. These are people he never expected to turn against him in such a way. That he grew up with him. His best friend coming up and said, if you ever preach a message like that, I'm going to kill you myself. This is a problem. That the men of Anathoth have committed a conspiracy. They said, let us destroy the tree and the fruit thereof. Let us cut him off the land of the living, that his name will be no more remembered. That Jeremiah, these old people, have come up with a conspiracy. What is a conspiracy? Two or more people that have agreed together to commit a crime in concert. We no longer just hate the message and we're not going to obey it. We want to kill the messenger. We're just fed up with him. We are done with it. We're not going to deal with this anymore. And so an awful thing has occurred. And this hurts Jeremiah deeply. Now, how did Jeremiah respond? Remember, as we talked about this morning, that our reactions to a bad reaction will determine the final reaction, right? How did Jeremiah respond when he found out that his friends, the people he grew up with, Aunt May down the street, Uncle George down there who watched him, how did he respond? Verse 19, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. He had the idea that he was still trusting in God and submissive even during this time. That he said, God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. God, I'll let you take care of those that want to destroy me. I'm trusting in you. He didn't fight back. He didn't make things worse by making a bad reaction and saying, bless God, God's going to rain down fire. He let God fight his battles for him. But you understand, this broke his heart. This hurt him deeply. And what's worse is that it's fixing to get worse. That the first conspiracy is that the people were just having roast preacher. That they found someone that disagreed with the points. They talked about it. And they agreed together in concert that they were not going to obey God's word. The second conspiracy came up where the people agreed together to get rid of the messenger. That if we could get him, if we could just get him to shut up, if we could get him to stop preaching, then guess what? Then we don't have to listen to this message no more. We'd all be happier. You understand, they'd be happier if they obeyed and got God's blessing. Jeremiah is not trying to make them miserable by preaching. By the way, miserable people inside of a church, sometimes I wonder, why are they there? If you don't like the message and not going to turn around, why? You understand, the message we're giving is trying to help. It's made to be a blessing. It's made so God could put his blessings on you if you would just obey. The preacher's not trying to hurt you. I promise with a sincere heart. The preacher loves you. The preacher's one of your best friends because he's trying to help. The first conspiracy is they got together and found other people that agreed with them to disagree with the preacher. And they got enough that they agreed together that they were not going to obey. The second conspiracy is that they got to his friends and family. They got to the people he grew up with and they said, get him to shut up. They got so tired of the message. They got so tired of hearing about Jeremiah that they came up with a conspiracy to kill him. And now we come to the third conspiracy. The next thing I want to show you is the covenant preacher's question. We come to chapter 12. This all blends together. Now, may I remind you that Jeremiah is not a super Christian? May I also remind you I'm not a super Christian, and neither are you. You think about the pressures when you know that people have already agreed together that they're not going to obey a certain part of the Bible, that they've made a choice, they're not teachable. You know, that's brokenhearted, and a preacher's got to deal with that. That he wants more for people than what they want for themselves. And they said, I'm not going to obey. I don't care what it says. I'm not going to do it. That's brokenheartedness. It's a second thing when people are so stirred up, they want to get rid of the preacher. We're done with him. We don't care what happens. We just don't want him here no more. And you know, after a while, that takes a toll. It doesn't matter who you are, that will weigh on you. Notice with me in chapter 12 and verse number 1. We see the covenant preacher's question. Chapter 12 and verse number 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Now he started off, said, God, you're still good and you're still right. I'm not questioning your righteousness, God, but I do have a question. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Now, this is a very legitimate question. He says, I'm preaching your word and more people hate me than ever. I'm trying to obey your Bible. And yet I look at everyone who's disobeying the Bible. I look at all those people that hate me and they look happy. They look content. They look like they're doing fine. You understand, Jeremiah is having a moment of weakness. He's saying, God, I'm not questioning your goodness. I'm just saying, is it worth it? I'm preaching. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. And nobody likes me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to and I'm not popular. I'm doing what I'm supposed to and I'm so lonely. May I give you a little asterisk here? The closer you are with the Lord and more obedient that you are in following him, the more lonely you will be. And this isn't just for pastors. It's for any Christian who decides to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. It is very lonely because no one else will go with you. And no one else will understand. And other people just don't want to go. And I'm not trying to say it's all boo-hoo. I'm trying to say that after a while, it broke the preacher's heart. He had that weight on him. And he's looking at everything. And it's hurting. And he does question, God, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I think I'm doing what's right. But it's not working. Everyone else seems to be happy. I look like I'm the only one that's miserable here because I'm so brokenhearted. I'm so weighed down. I see the conspiracies. I'm preaching and I'm watching their faces. I know they're not going to obey. I know they're not teachable. I know that if I try just to point out and say, hey, fix this. Hey, I want to help you out, that they're not going to accept it. You understand? He's broken. Weeping now. This would happen to anyone, any person. This is the weight of the ministry. Verse 2. Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. They bring much fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from the reins. And he goes on like this, asking the question, God, what's going on? But notice what happens. Just when it didn't turn worse, you have Jeremiah, who's preaching, and he already knows who's out there, who's not going to obey, who's already determined they're not going to listen, that they're going to have some reason, some excuse, some other people backing them up why they don't have to obey. He's already dealt with his family, that he's been rejected from home. Can you imagine not being able to go back home? Not being able to go up where you grew up. Not seeing your friends anymore because they don't want to have anything to do with you. They're done. They want to do anything to get rid of you. And they're making plans with others how to get rid of the preacher. How to get him to shut up. Notice with me in verse 6, chapter 12, verse 6. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto them. Notice this, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words to them. What has happened is that enough pressure has now reached Jeremiah's family that they had a family meeting and Jeremiah was not invited. Ever had one of those meetings where people had a meeting and someone was not invited? Those aren't good meetings. And they agreed together, we got to do something to shut him up. I mean, people are coming to me all the time. You understand what your son is doing? What do you do something about your brother? Why do you allow him to do something? Dude. And so pressure has come to the family. They had a family meeting. And they've now agreed that if you don't stop, we're going to stop you. We're going to cut you off. We don't want to deal with you no more. We don't want to hear your preaching no more. You know, if you're going to bring that religion around here, we don't want to hear it on anymore. Any conversation you have, you better not bring up the Bible. You understand that's hurtful. When the family now rejects, they don't want to have anything. The pressure's on. There's a conspiracy. His own family now has a conspiracy against him. And he's not allowed to preach there. Or they don't want him to preach. They want to get him to stop. They want to get him to quit. Oh, what a broken hearted. No greater hurt could be applied because now true loneliness is now hit. It's one thing when you're preaching and you know people aren't going to like the message, but you do it anyways. It's another thing when now the people are so riled up, they want to get rid of you and kill you anyway. And then when your only source that maybe I could go home, maybe I could take some time just to unwind, the family has rejected you and you have no sanctuary. You have no place to get away from the ministry. You have no place to get away from people who don't like the message. There's nowhere to go that you can get relief. And he's already brokenhearted. He's already saying, God, help, help. Have the idea of covenants and conspiracies. We can see these things going on in Jeremiah's life. And it's going to be like this for the next 20-something years. It's not going to be lifted up. That pressure doesn't go away. By the way, the pressure of that ministry never goes away. That's why anyone who tries to become a pastor or in the ministry that is not God called, they're out of their minds. Only God. No wonder the Bible says, we were talking about in Sunday school about desires of our heart. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. He that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. You know where that desire comes from? That comes from God. Only God can do something like that. By the way, if I could also put that asterisk, I'm so glad that God called me in the ministry, and through all the brokenheartedness and things that have happened, it's still the greatest thing I could do because this is God's will for me. But you understand, it does take a toll. It's a burden. And Jeremiah had this. And you know, and it's hard to understand that burden. It's hard to understand that you want to help people out so much and they don't want it. And yet you have to do it anyways. And so the conspiracies have come. Which brings me to the last thing. We're talking about covenants and conspiracies. We saw the covenant stated. We saw the covenant broken. We saw the covenant preacher threatened. We saw the covenant preacher's question, which brings us to the covenant applied. So bringing it back around, let's go back. Why to preach this whole message? Is it to get people to feel sorry for the preacher? Don't you feel sorry for me one little bit? You understand? I'm serving a great God and I'm doing it for Him, and He's my reward. I'm not trying to get you to say boo-hoos, how horrible things are. Because let me know, the ministry is still the greatest thing to be in God's will and to watch God work. What's the whole point of this? The whole point of it is not to put the attention on the preacher. The whole point is to bring us back to the idea that God's word needs to be simply obeyed. And when you obey God's word, there comes blessing. That is the simple truth. Obey God's word. It's much easier than conspiracies. Notice with me in chapter 12 and verse 7. Chapter 12 and verse 7. I have forsaken my house. This is God speaking. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of our enemies. Now, because of their disobedience, God has to abandon His house and abandon His heritage, and He's given it to them who are the enemies. This is the first passage that in Jeremiah's chronology that actually now refers that it's the Babylonians that are coming. Before, he talked about the shadow of the north. He had hinted about who is coming. Now he's actually declaring it's the Babylonians. He also states something in here which we'll get probably on Wednesday night. That whenever God uses a rod to chasten His people, He breaks the rod. And by the way, that's encouragement for the people that God's not going to let those Babylonians get away with punishing there. That God is using them as an instrument, and then He's going to break that instrument when He's done. But we see that here's God's brokenhearted. You bless me, or you obey me, just obey my word, and you get blessings. You disobey, comes the cursings. You understand, the preacher is not part of this. He's the messenger. It just comes down simply, what are you going to do with the word? What are you going to do with the principles? What are you going to be given to the message that was given to you? Are you going to obey or are you going to disobey? Jump with me. The rest of the passage in the midst of here, verses 8 on, starts talking more about the Babylonians and how they're going to come and they're going to spoil. But notice with me in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built in the midst of my people. So here, God is actually giving heathens, and by the way, we're heathens, we're Gentiles, anybody who chooses to obey the word, not just the Jewish people, anybody who chooses to obey the Bible, God will bless. But if they don't, verse 17, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. You understand, this is the simple message it's getting across. It's not about Jeremiah. It is not about your preacher. It's not about that preacher. It is not about that person over there. It is about, will you obey God's word? Or will you not obey God's word? The source or the messenger is not really part of the equation. This is a thing between you and the Lord. Will you obey the word that God has given to you? Will you obey it? If you do, God wants to bless you. If you do not, God cannot bless those that are disobedient. He just cannot, because he is a righteous God. Now, in the midst of this, we do see a Jeremiah, and we see the conspiracies that come up, and we understand those conspiracies still exist today. But the purpose of it, the emphasis, is not the conspiracies. It is the covenants. Will you obey God's word? Will you make a determination in your heart that I'm going to obey the Bible? I'm going to obey what the messenger gives me, even if it's something that I initially don't want to do. Remember, submission is the idea of delighting in God's word, not just simply doing it. Fine, I'll do it because I have to, is not submission. God wants us to delight in God's word. I understand this is something that I initially didn't want to do. If you have a problem with submitting, then guess what? God helped me to have the heart to obey what was given to me. That's a good prayer. Because we all have things that we don't want to obey. There are things that we don't want to do. I didn't want to preach this message, to be honest with you. But because I want to submit, Lord, help me with this. You understand? This is just obeying God's word. God will help us. He wants to bless us, and he'll equip us to allow us to obey if we just choose to. But we have to be at the heart where we've already made a determination that unless it's illegal, immoral, and biblical, we're going to obey the message and the principles given to us. The clear commands, the principles that follow up with it from a man of God who loves you, who wants to help you, who wants to see you blessed. He's there to help. But we have to make that determination. I want the blessing. How do the blessings come? Because I made a choice to agree. A secondary thing is to watch out for conspiracies. There are some people who will test just to see, what did you think of the preacher's message, to find that one point that they disagreed with. They're looking for allies. And they may not even realize they're doing it. They just are. Be very careful, because we don't want to be caught in a conspiracy. We want to determine in our heart we're going to obey the Lord and what he has given to us, and he will bless us as we do. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.